Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it's open lines as we take your calls and hear real ghost stories from real people. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story 24/7.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted to do that. Go for it.
It is 855-853-4.
853?
4802 is our phone number here. Call in your real ghost stories now or write it in from ghostpodcast.com.
Realghoststoriesonline.com is actually the site where you can write in the ghost stories. So we welcome you to do that. I'm sorry, I was so used to doing it myself that I know you're sitting there, I want to do that. Obviously, it's Tony and Harper.
I'm sorry I messed up.
No, you're fine. It was me that messed up. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the weekend edition, everybody. We greatly appreciate you tuning in. It's me and Harp. And if you want to support the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And EPP, you sign up to do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the show and keep us on the air. And how are you doing this fine day, Harp?
I'm doing great. I had McDonald's for lunch. I got done early with my schoolwork. I'm doing great.
So it's a good day.
It's a great day.
In the fall of COVID in 2020. So yeah, I mean, you're doing all the online school stuff, but that really allows you a pretty free day as long as you get the work done.
And I wake up early to get it done.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny. Like, I'll be getting out of bed. She's like, I finished all my schoolwork. So either you're a genius or they're not giving you enough schoolwork. But
I'm a genius.
You do put a lot of extra time into that in the evenings and weekends. Let's go to our first caller at 855-853-4802 to share a real ghost story with us here on the program. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, big fan of the show. I've been watching for quite a bit now, and it's always spooky. But I do have one story for you guys. I am not originally from the United States, and I actually had my experience back in Colombia. That's where I'm from. And I actually was, my mom was with me, so we used to share a room when I was little. And we were just sleeping, trying to, you know, get ready for bed. We went to bed. And in the middle of the night, we both get woken up, the both of us, which makes it even more, a little bit more terrifying, I guess. Both of us were gonna, both of us woke up from a very loud noise. Usually our front door, we had to push it in. We had to do this weird trick in order to get it to open from inside and outside. So we heard the door that leads to the outside, to the street, open and closed really loud. So we thought, oh, well, my uncle's home, and for my mom, well, my brother's home. No problem at all, but we didn't hear any footsteps. And we were kind of wondering as to what he was doing, because he was also out with his now wife, and we didn't hear anything. No footsteps, no voice. We just kind of kept waiting, kind of in silence, in the dark, of course. kind of to hear footsteps and a little, like, shush voices, just talking. We didn't hear anything. So we were kind of weirded out by then. And then we hear this loud, loud footsteps, very clear, heavy duty boots like my uncle used to wear, just walking across our bedroom door. Mind you, the houses in Colombia are not wood, but they're tiles. So the noise is not as much, but when it's something heavy, you can definitely hear it. And we were still kind of waiting to hear the voices. But then the footsteps stopped past our door. We still didn't hear anything. So my mom checked out her cell phone and called my uncle. he answers, and we hear music in the background. And he's like, hello? We didn't hear anything on our end. If it was him in our house. So he's like, oh, what's happening? And my mom tells him, well, I think now there's somebody in the house, like a robber or somebody like that. And he's like, oh, well, just stay put. I'm going to make my way over there. Don't open the door, blah, blah, blah. When we hang up, we hear the footsteps again, walking towards the bathroom. And the shower turns on. You know, the sound of the shower, everything. The turn of the hand, the handle gets turned. The water starts hitting the tiles in the bathroom. And we're just like, okay, is this person going to take a shower in the house? What's going on? Then we hear the fridge open and close and open again and close again. That happened like 2 or 3 times. So we're like, okay, they're helping themselves to food. And then after that, we don't hear anything from the quote-unquote person. No other sounds, no footsteps, nothing else, but the shower still kind of running. About a couple minutes later, well, it felt like 3 hours, but I'm pretty sure it was probably just 5 minutes, everything stopped. There's no noise from anything, no footsteps, no shower, no bedroom door, nobody went out of the front door. And if you're thinking, oh, well, maybe somebody went in through your roof or something like that, I don't know why you would think that, but just as a side note, our ceilings are very, very high. I will almost say 12 feet, maybe a little bit less than that, but they're super, super high. So there's no way somebody could have gone. And we had a patio and kind of a middle patio in the middle of the house. So if somebody wanted to go in, they would have basically smacked and dropped about 12 feet to the ground, so they would have definitely not survived that. And like I said, the door isn't easy to open either, so a person who will try to rob our place would have had quite a bit of time to try to open that door. So we were kind of weirded out. My mom decides that, you know what, I'm kind of done with this. We're both terrified over mine. And she decides to just turn on our light. She grabs a pipe. Well, we're doing renovation at that time. So she just grabs the pipe and opens the door, swings it open. And then I go with her, of course. Just started turning all of the lights in the house. Everything in the house. Everything. Not a single soul was in that house. No footstep marks. Our towels are white, so if you were outside or something like that, you will definitely see the prints. Nothing at all. So now my mom and I are very scared, but we just deal with it. We go back to sleep. The next day, when we wake up again, we found out that there was a couple things moved and some of the things missing. So in the bathroom, the shower curtain, which we usually keep open, was closed, and the shampoo bottles were turned. On their side, not like actually turned, but on their side. And the fridge, there's a couple items just scrambled. For some reason, apparently the ghost liked eggs somehow. But those were moved as well. A couple, the jug of milk was also moved. So it was a scary experience because we saw, more like heard, and then the day after saw what happened. But after that, weirdly enough, nothing else happened. That was the first time I ever had some sort of experience, and the only time. My house was never haunted. Mind you, my house was built in the 1800s in Colombia, so it's been there for a while. But nobody else was there. You know, nothing else happened, no other ghost stories, no anything else. It was a very weird and singular experience, which I almost thought I dreamt of, but with my mom being there and her also confirming what was happening, kind of solidified the matter that, you know, I didn't dream that. And I have other stories. Colombia is very haunted. We got quite a few stories for that, but thank you so much for listening, guys, and I enjoy your show very much. I appreciate what you guys do every day. I listen to you when I for my commute to work, and on my commute back. It's an amazing show. Thank you so much. And for you and your family, stay safe.
A ghost in the shower. I've never heard of that before.
It's a terrifying idea.
No kidding.
Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever been terrified or have a sense of fear while in the shower?
No.
No? Well, that's good. I mean, you're young. I've never freaked out or anything, but I think I've had moments before where I was alone, like in my own apartment when I was younger, when I was like 18, 19. And at that point, you're kind of just like adjusting, number one, to being on your own and not having other people in your house with you all the time. And new buildings, new things have sounds that come with them, especially apartments. And there is nothing kind of creepier than being in the shower and hearing what sounds like there's something outside your bathroom or just outside of the shower. And maybe you can't see what is outside of your shower because maybe you have a door that's, you know, kind of fogged and you just can't see outside. And you're wondering, it runs through your mind when you hear one of those noises, like, did somebody get in? And you're as vulnerable as you can be standing there in a shower wondering what the hell is going on. But most of the times when you're in an apartment, it's just like a neighbor or somebody making a ton of noise on the other side of the wall or above or below you. But obviously here in this story, it was a little bit different.
Yeah, like, it gives me that thought, like, can ghosts take showers?
No, I don't know that ghosts can take showers, but they can certainly, I guess, be in the same room with someone when they are taking a shower. Can they manipulate things? Can they manipulate a shower handle like they talked about in the story to get attention and things like that? Sure. Is the intention to probably take a shower? Probably not. But it's more so, look what I can do. And look at me, I'm here. I think it's probably more the direction that thing was going.
And opening and shutting the fridge.
Maybe they're hungry. That would be one of the biggest things I would miss when being dead. Is food.
Food? Oh, come on. You could eat anything when you're dead.
Well, can you? Or can you not? I mean, there's so many different ways of looking at that. I've heard stories where people believe that if a ghost simply goes to the food item, like if I were the ghost and there's these French fries sitting on my desk here, if I was a ghost and I could literally go through things, that the thought process is if you go through it and you just stand there, like in the midst of the French fries, that you'll taste whatever that is that's there. But are ghosts really picking up food and eating it? No, we've never really had any cases where the food itself is gone. We've had stories where people leave food as offerings, which is a common thing in many religions in many parts of the world, where they leave gifts or offerings to their dead loved ones in the way of food. The food is, when they go back and check it, it's not eaten, but they believe that the spirit got some satisfaction or joy out of being able to eat some of their favorite foods or experience some of their favorite foods. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that works. I hope there's a way to at least get the taste of stuff, even if I'm not necessarily consuming it.
I want to consume things even when I'm dead so I can eat my Big Macs, my French fries, and the soda.
You are on a Big Mac kick right now. She recently upgraded herself from a Happy Meal to a Big Mac, and her world has never been the same. The show is not sponsored by McDonald's, by the way. And we don't go there all the time. It is a treat. I know you're like, oh, fast food. It's not good for you. We're all well aware of that. So we don't like eat it daily by any means. But every once in a while for a treat, it's a treat. So, but my goodness. Yeah, it's something to think about. Not that you have any control over it, but it's something you can think about when you think about the dead and the abilities they have or do not have.
Now when I'm dead, I'm going to eat all my favorite food daily.
If that's possible, I will be hanging out at the Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuit area. I'll haunt the hell out of a Red Lobster. Why are these Cheddar Bay biscuits floating across the table? Like, well, it's me. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony. My name is Deborah Drake, and I live in Georgia. Moved here about 17 years ago from Idaho. So I'm not used to this country life out here. My husband and I got married and decided to try to have babies, and I ended up getting pregnant with twins at the age of 40. So, which happens. So anyway, while I was pregnant, this was 14 years ago, while I was pregnant with my twins, my girlfriend from Boise came to stay with me while my husband was on a hunting trip. And I was 6 months pregnant at the time. So we decided to go ahead and have my baby shower while she was here. And she also just wanted to come, you know, stay with me because he was away, and she felt like it was a good opportunity. And to also just kind of keep an eye on me because I, you know, it was my first pregnancy and I'm pregnant with twins. So anyway, while she was here, we lived in our old house, which is right down the street from where we live now. But we do live on a country road and we don't have neighbors that are in sight at all. We do have neighbors, but they're, you know, they're spaced pretty far apart. And I don't know if you are aware of what Georgia is like, but there's a lot of pine trees. So we do live basically kind of in the woods. So anyway, while she was here, we would go out at night. Well, we would leave during the day, and by the time we got home, it would be dark. And me being pregnant and tired all the time, I was not used to being out at night. I would always go to bed pretty early. So when we would leave the house during the day, I would always forget to turn the porch light on so it would be lit when we came home. So for about 3 days while she was here, we would go out, and then at night when we would come home, we would get out of my truck and I would walk up the stairs to the house to unlock the door and turn the porch light on so we could see. Well, the first night, you know, she kind of hung back by the back of my truck, and which I kind of didn't really think anything about it at the time. I thought maybe she's just getting her purse or something. Anyway, the second night she did the same thing. And the third night she did the same thing. And I'm thinking, this is kind of weird, you know, because sometimes we would have bags to carry in if we'd been shopping or whatever. And I thought, that's kind of weird because here I am, big, fat, and pregnant with twins, walking up the steps, and she's not, you know, coming right behind me or whatever. So when we got in the house on the third night, I asked her, I said, every time we get out of the truck when we come home, why are you just hanging out by the back of my truck and not coming up the stairs? And she said, well, I really don't want to tell you because you're pregnant and I don't want to scare you. Well, that's the wrong thing to say to me. You know, for one thing, nothing scares me. I can watch every horror movie on the planet and nothing scares me. So, you know, of course it got my interest up, and I said, no, that is not what you're saying to me right now. You're going to tell me exactly what it is that you're doing, why you're doing that. So she said, can we please just go in the house? Let's bring our bags in the house and let me pour a glass of wine and I will tell you. So we got everything settled and went in the living room and sat down, and she poured her glass of wine and she said, okay, are you ready for this? And I said, yes. And she said, well, every time we have gotten out of your truck in the evening, I look at the house, and on the right side of the house, I see a woman standing there. And I said, okay, really? And she said, yes. She said, you know, you've known me for over 22 years, but I've never told you that I am very clairvoyant. And I said, oh, okay. So, and that definitely is one thing that I did not know about her. She said, okay, so this woman that I see is there every evening when we get back, and she's in the same spot. She said she's not really transparent, but she's not, you know, it's not a full-on image. And it's also dark when we get home. So the only light that we have is the floodlights that are around the house and the porch lights. So she said, but I can see her plain as day. She's got long hair and she's wearing a dress that's not really, really a peasant type dress, but it's also not a really fancy dress. It's just kind of a plain dress. And I said, okay. So she said, I get the feeling that she does not mean us any harm. She's not there to harm you or me. She said, I get a really strong feeling that the only reason that she's there is because you are pregnant and your husband's out of town and you're here alone and I'm here and I'm a stranger to this area. She had never been there, by the way. She'd never visited me before. She said, so, you know, I'm a stranger in her eyes. And she's really here just looking out for you and the babies, and she's just here to protect you. And I said, wow, okay, that's really cool. And, of course, the whole time, you know, I've got goosebumps. But I said, well, you know, do you realize that there is a old, very old cemetery directly across the street? And her eyes got huge, and she immediately drained her glass of wine. And she said, no, I had no idea. You've never told me that. And I said, well, yeah, you know, I just never thought about it. And she said, well, can we go? And I said, absolutely not. It's dark, you know, and here I am never afraid of anything, but I really did not feel like going over there. So I said, let's go first thing in the morning. So as soon as we got up and got dressed, we went across the street to the cemetery. And as you walk down the road, it might be maybe an eighth of a mile, maybe a 16th of a mile from the main road that we live on back into the woods to the cemetery. But as you approach the cemetery, you're actually looking at the back of it. So none of the headstones or grave markers are visible from walking up on them. You actually have to go around and look at them to read them. So, and like I said, it's a really old cemetery. I mean, we're talking, you know, 1800s. There's a lot of young children and babies buried there, and it's really ran down. So a lot of the headstones you can't even read. So as we're walking up to the cemetery, we hadn't even got to the front of it yet, and she pointed to one of the tall headstones, and she said, that's her. I just kind of looked at her and I said, are you sure? And she said, yes, that's her. So as soon as we got around to the front of the headstone, she read it. And I did not mention earlier when she was describing her as wearing a dress and long hair, she also said that she appears to be in her 40s, you know, she said, Deb, she appears to be around our age, you know, in her 40s, early 40s, just by the way that she looks to me. So when we read her headstone, her name is Cora Hamilton, and judging by the day that she was born and the day that she died, she would have been 43 years old. So to this day, every time I talk to my friend Sean, I always say, oh, by the way, Cora says hi, or Cora says what's up. So it was a very, very kind of unsettling, but then again, not scary experience. And then a few years later, after my girls were born, she did come to visit again. And, you know, we're all piled on our Ranger riding up and down the road. And I'm taking her to, we have a lot of property on this road, so I'm taking her to different spots that she didn't see before. And the whole time I'm looking at her, just kind of out of the corner of my eye, and she's just got this look on her face. And I, when we were done, I said, you know, what was that look? What were you doing? And she said, Teb, there's just so many spirits here. So many, I can feel them. And I have felt just children and women and men. She said, but I have not felt anything bad. So, it was pretty cool and kind of spooky at the same time. And I tell that story to everybody when I take them on ranger rides on our property and we pass the cemetery. But I have also had a few experiences in the old house that we lived in. It was very small. And so after I had my son, we had three kids, we had to build a bigger house. So we moved out of that house, but, and literally just right down the street, right next door. But I've had I had three experiences in our old house since that happened, and one experience in our new house. So I really I believe in ghosts, and I really do believe that there are spirits around this house, and I actually do sage quite often just to make sure that if there are any bad spirits on our property or any bad spirits that want to visit me, that they're not allowed. I will allow the good ones in. Cora is definitely allowed, but everybody else, no. So I do believe in ghosts, and my husband has a cousin who asked if he could actually walk on our property to get some exercise, and I told him yes, and he had an experience himself. Came up to the door and said, could you please walk with me out into the woods because I want to tell you what happened. That's a whole nother story, but that's my ghost story. So thank you very much for letting me share it.
I think it's good that woman was there to protect her and the baby, because that's really good, because in her eyes, her friend is a stranger. So she's just there to look out, make sure nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good, warm and feeling.
I completely agree. I think it's one of those things where you can't really control necessarily if there's a spirit that wants to get involved and help or protect. And sometimes that just happens. Whether you want it or not, they are going to be there, and some of us are going to be sensitive enough to pick up on that, and some of us are simply not. It's interesting that she had a friend that was able to pick up and deliver that message to her so she could be a little more comforted by what may be going on around her, as it continued, and not just freaking out like, what is this? You know, her friend was able to kind of calm those nerves by being someone who is sensitive and can, in fact, feel those things the way that she does.
Yeah, and I'm glad that friend just knew this woman's here for a good cause, not to harm you or me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was there with good and positive intent. Thank you for sharing that with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hey, Tony and Jen. My name's Andy. I live in the Detroit area. I just realized today is the 10th anniversary that I experienced my first ghost encounter. I was living in St. Clair Shores, Michigan at the time. I was renting a home from a good friend of mine, and I had a girlfriend that was living in the house prior, and she experienced some paranormal activity. And my buddy that owns the house and his wife are living in the home, and they said they had experienced some weird things. Anyhow, I was living with my girlfriend. Long story short, we split after 6 months living together. And I remained in the house after 2 years, never really experienced anything. Always kind of felt like a presence in the house. But I was always looking over my shoulder. One evening in particular, 2010, I was working a lot of overtime at work, and I came home. It was probably about, 6:37 o'clock in the evening. Still, it was dark out, and I got home, and I was just really tired, and I just had a cracked a beer, turned on the television, and just kind of flopped on the couch. Well, I barely even drank the beer, just kind of sat there. And I'm kind of half dozing off laying on the couch. The only thing that was lit in the room was the television in the family room. And off to the corner of my eye, by the fireplace, it was on an angle, the way this fireplace was positioned in the living room. I noticed something kind of hovering, just about the size of a football. It was like an opaque or big orb. I'm looking at this, and I'm in disbelief what I'm seeing. I sit straight up on the couch. Mind you, my hair is like like a peacock, it's standing on edge. And I'm like, what the hell am I looking at here? And I stand up, literally, and this orb just kind of goes right to the floor, moves slowly to the wall, goes up the wall, literally goes up the wall straight, path of travel type, midway, three quarters of the way up the wall, stops, reverses in the same track down the wall, goes around, on the, now it's on the floor, and goes around the TV stand, bookcase, and goes around the corner and vanishes into a vapor down my hallway. I couldn't believe what I had seen. Honest to God, it blew me away. I convinced my side, I started yelling, get out of this house, you don't belong here, please move. And anyhow, I was scared shitless. I jumped back on the couch, I covered myself in the blanket, and anyhow, I think prior to all this, I think I spoke to my girlfriend on the phone, and I left my front door open, so she was going to stop by later, and I convinced myself I did not see this, and I fell asleep on my couch with the blanket over my head. She came into my house, and she kind of like flops on me, and asked me why I'm sleeping with the blanket over my head, and I totally was so freaked out, I forgot I had seen this. So, fast forward a few hours later, we finished dinner and cleaning up dinner, and I'm in the kitchen loading or washing plates or something, and anyhow, my girlfriend's standing in the kitchen facing the hallway. She goes, something just went down the hallway really quick. Mind you, I had a cat at that point in time. And they go, well, the cat's on the couch. Just saw her. There's no, I think it was something different. I just like dropped the plate. I'm like, oh my God. Just sit down, I gotta tell you. When I told her the whole story. She's like, oh my God. She's like, yeah. She believes it was the ghost too. She saw it going down the hallway. It was like coming back. I don't know, trying to make an appearance or something, but it was strange. Ever since then, never experienced anything. My buddies rented the house out to the same people for the last 8-9 years now, and I've asked him if they've ever experienced anything, and he says nope, no complaints at all. So anyhow, that's my ghost story. Thanks for the show, I love it, and keep it up, guys. Bye.
That's kind of creepy when you see this orb going up and down a wall and just vanishes into a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
That's just creepy.
It makes you wonder what it is and what it has the ability to do if it's able to vanish itself into a wall. Is that a power that a living person would have? Or is that something that, is something that has more power than that?
More power than that, because I haven't met any of my friends that can vanish into a wall.
Not yet, you're young. Wait till you meet more friends that that vanish into walls. It's really exciting.
What do you mean? Have you had
No, I'm just completely kidding. That happens in third grade, so just wait
excuse me, I'm in second grade?
I know, but I'm saying third grade is when you have friends that start vanishing into walls. So you're just not quite there yet, is all I'm saying.
Vanishing into walls. Yep. Can we get some vanishing into walls music?
I don't have any vanishing into walls music. It's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.